Astronomers have an interesting definition of metallicity. Here's Maria Rosa to tell us more.
My research is mainly to try to understand galaxies in which we can see individual stars.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is to measure the metallicity in the galaxy. And one way to do it is to use these stars as a group and to use their properties to measure what is the metallicity of the galaxy. And because usually you have lots of stars in a galaxy, you know, millions or even more, depending on which galaxy you look at, you can think of looking at these stars in groups in different locations in the galaxy and then finding out the metallicity and then study if the metallicity is different in different positions.
What do we mean by metallicity, though? It's a difficult sort of concept.
Yeah. Metallicity, well, in the general way, it means how much metals you have. So metals are, of course, iron. This is our top metal. You know, mm-hmm. Most people will think of it, oh, metals, iron. But there are also other metals. You know, there's oxygen, silicon. And in astronomy, metallicity is a very interesting concept that it's not the same as in other scientific disciplines. So everything that is heavier than hydrogen and helium is metallicity.
It's a very simple definition, isn't it? We say, oh, is it heavier than hydrogen or helium? It's a metal.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is that we get away with this definition because when you look at these metals, normally iron and heavy elements dominates. And so if you neglect some lower, so let's say some lighter elements in your big, you know, group, you don't make a very big mistake. You know, is that when you go and compare these metals with the hydrogen or the helium, that is important. And mm-hmm. So you don't want to make a mistake in that sense. You know, you don't want to put everything together. So you want to distinguish the metals from the hydrogen and the helium.
Right.
That's mostly what we, Well, what we care. I mean, some people may disagree because they are only study carbon, for example, or some people are only study calcium. So it depends really what you're looking at. But when you talk about metallicity of galaxies, then you usually talk about iron or everything else heavier than hydrogen and helium.
And the metals, in this case, in the galaxy, when we talk about the metallicity of a galaxy, we're talking about the metals in individual stars. Is that true?
We are talking about the metals that were there before the stars formed. Mm. You know, the metals in the cloud out of which the star that you are observing today formed. And of course, within the stars, when the stars evolve, the metals can change. But some metals, like iron, for example, will be very hard to change. You know, you need to reach very late stages of evolution, like when a star, it's almost approaching supernova, you know, to synthesize iron within the stars and so mm-hmm. to change the iron abundance. So if you look at stars that are in earlier evolutionary phases, like our sun, for example, you know, the iron that you see there, it's usually the iron that was there when the when the sun formed, you know, out of that cloud of metals and hydrogen and helium at the formation.
So iron and heavier metals would have come from very evolved stars, the stars which have gone through their life, probably ended in a supernova or maybe a planetary nebula, and there were nuclear processes which meant that you got heavier elements.
Exactly. So this is very important because this is how the galaxy gets the metals. And that's why it's interesting to study the distribution of these metals, because you can already see where there are more metals. So maybe something happened in the history of the galaxy. You know, maybe in that part there was a supernova explosion, or there were some other more complicated things happening. And it's also interesting to look at different galaxies that have a different content of metal. And what people are very interested nowadays is to look at galaxies that contain very little metals, because they want to observe the galaxies that are very old. So try to go back to the early evolution of our universe in general, you know, because at the very beginning, there were no heavy metals. Mm. You know, the heavy metals, the very first heavy metals were synthesized inside the stars. So if you look in places where there are very little metals, then you hopefully are looking in places that are very pristine.
Right. Yeah. So, of course, a galaxy which is comprised of stars which are very, very metal poor would mean that they were formed from gas which had not been enriched, let's say, with metals produced by stars going through an entire cycle of life.
Exactly.
So, as you say, they would be very, very old because they would have been, I guess, one of the starting galaxies in the universe. They would have been formed from, as you say, pristine material.
Yeah, exactly. They're very difficult to find. Mm-hmm. You know, this is really a milestone, you know. Also, stars that contain very, very little metal, they're very difficult to find. But
why is that? Is that because, I mean, presumably they would be very, very far away, because we know that greater distances, greater time looking back to the beginning of the galaxy, or is that not true?
Not necessarily. In our old galaxies, there are very metal-poor stars in the halo of our own galaxy. Mm-hmm. And that depends on how you believe galaxy formed. Because if you think that our galaxy, for example, it's a big galaxy, it's a big spiral galaxy, if it formed by accreting smaller galaxies, it means that these smaller galaxies didn't contain much metal to start with, and then the metals came afterwards during the evolution of the galaxy. So in our galaxy itself, there will be signatures of the origin of the galaxy, and we know that there are very metal-poor stars.
Hmm.
We just don't know why they're there and where they came from. You know, did they form in situ, let's say? You know, did they form there, or are they coming from disrupted galaxies that were merged into our galaxy? So I think that the signature of, let's say, of the early origin of the universe is a little bit everywhere.
Hmm. So it's interesting to say that when you look at different parts of our own galaxy, or even external galaxies, you look at different parts of those galaxies, you can see different metallicities. You can see the evidence of some kind of accretion or formation event.
Mm-hmm.
And one possibility is that these galaxies have accreted or eaten a passing galaxy which had, on average, a different metallicity, had stars with different metallicities, and you can still see the remnants, the undigested bits of that galaxy in the parent galaxy, so to speak.
Yeah, in principle, because the chemical composition, you know, when you form the stars at a certain moment in time, it's there, right? It's an imprint that you have on these stars. And these stars, during their evolution, they move. You know, stars are not static. They have their own motion. And sometimes they're even pushed into larger scale motion by the galaxy to which they belong. So they will not necessarily be in the same position to where they formed, but they will still maintain their chemical imprints from the original composition, and also the one that will be modified during the evolution of the star. So
you can still see the evidence, though, of an accretion event metallicity signatures of these stars.
Yes.
So you look and see, oh, look, there's a stream of stars there, all with roughly the same metallicity,
exactly,
which is very different to the rest of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, that's obviously a merger event. It's been eaten up by this bigger galaxy, usually.
Yeah. You can try to find, in fact, explanations. You know, if you have stars in a certain position that are much more metal-rich or much more metal-poor, you can see how it is their distribution with respect to the size of the galaxy, to the morphology of the galaxy. And then you can think of, is this distribution consistent with one galaxy evolving in isolation, for example? Or if you cannot explain it this way, do you require that the galaxy accretes external galaxies or to create such a spatial distribution as well as a metallicity distribution?
Mm.
So this is something that we cannot yet answer precisely, because metallicity is very important, but you also need an information about the motion of the stars.
The kinematics, how the stars are moving.
Exactly. Mm. So you need to put all the ingredients together. And also the age is quite important. So you need to know that the star they are looking at, they are actually they did form all at the same time, although metallicity can help you there, because if you're measuring the metallicity at the moment that the star formed, and if the metallicity is the same, you can assume that this group of stars formed at the same time. Mm. Or they went through enrichment in the galaxy in the same way, right? So they have some similarities. But then you are the stars moving coeval, mm-hmm. you know, within the galaxy? Was this a group associated to itself, or it just happens to be there for some reason? So I think we are, you need to put more information together.
But you still can pick apart a galaxy in terms of its, I think the term is resolved stellar populations. You can see the individual stars in groups within a galaxy and say, well, they seem to be associated with each other.
Yes.
And
yes.
metallicity is one way of doing it. But as you yes. say, you've got to be careful of their ages as well, because they all have an effect on what you observe. How do you observe metallicity in a star anyway?
Well, you can, in a star. Okay. Mm. So if you see your star, if you're thinking about one single star, then the best possible way to measure the metallicity, or let's say the abundance of the heavy element, like iron and oxygen and so on, is to take a spectrum. Mm-hmm. To take a spectrum and look exactly at the lines produced by the iron and by the other heavy elements. This is the most accurate. But you need instruments that are quite powerful. So you cannot do it very far away. You know, you can do it for stars that are relatively close to us in our galaxy, or in the Magellanic Clouds, or in galaxies that are not too far away. So that's for each single star. But if you are interested in the metallicity of a group of stars, of course you can take a spectra of each star in the group, but sometimes this is not feasible because it will take you too long, and it's also a balance, how much time you want to spend observing your stars and how much you will gain mm. out of them. So the best way, if you want to find the metallicity of a group of stars, is to do it in a statistical way, to take, instead of spectra, images at different wavelength, and then to combine this emission that you get in broadband filters together and study colors and magnitudes and how the star show up in this color and magnitudes, and to try to relate their color and their magnitude to the metallicity.
So taking a spectra is essentially the finest measurement you can take. It splits up all the light into the finest possible grades, depending on how good your spectrograph is. But taking just images in different colors, so very large bands of color, so blue, green, red, mm-hmm. is essentially like a very crude spectrograph, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Okay, so you don't see individual lines, but you get a slightly different color if a galaxy is predominantly metal rich or metal poor.
Exactly, yeah. Normally, the metallicity affects your galaxy in the way that if it is metal rich, you will have bluer colors, and if it is metal poor, you will have redder colors.
So presumably that means that a more metal-rich galaxy, or a galaxy comprised of more metal-rich stars, those stars individually will be, in general, hotter.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you're just looking at temperature differences.
When we talk about taking a spectrum and looking at the lines in a stellar spectrum, going back to stars now and looking at the metal abundances, how much metal is in each mm-hmm. star, we're talking about absorption lines here, aren't we?
Yes. You're talking about the absorption. You know, if there is an abundance of iron, let's say, in the way, mm-hmm. in the star, then it's going to absorb the light exactly yeah. at that particular
those specific
frequency.
Wavelengths, yeah. You know, due yeah. to atomic levels of yeah. iron or whatever metal that you're yeah. that you're looking at. So that tells you that there is some of, let's say, iron in the stellar atmosphere. Does it tell you how much there is?
It does. Well, of course, yeah, you can't do everything with observations alone. You need to have models mm-hmm. That reproduce your observations. And the advantage is that in models, you know how you construct your models, and you know what you did put in order to produce an absorption line of a given intensity and at a given place. So it's the combination of the two together that tells you how much iron there is.
So you do have, from your observations of an observational spectra, you have a depth or a strength or an intensity of the observation line, which gives you a handle on how much of that particular element is there.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with your model, you get a better idea of exactly, you know, what the ratio of the metal is to everything else. And so how do you link that to taking broadband color images of entire galaxies? I mean, it seems that you're going from this very fine, wonderfully accurate, let's say, or specific wavelength measurement with a spectrograph to taking big sort of broad images across a large chunk of wavelengths, blue, green, red, and then making some statement about the metallicity of galaxies. Because you can't observe, you know, billions of stars with a spectrograph, it'll take too long. So you take these individual color images of galaxies. How do you do the statistical approach? How confident are you that this works?
Yeah, that it depends very much on the type of stars you use to do that. There are different stars that you can use a different wavelength that will let's say have a metallicity signature. For example, if you take evolve giant stars, these are stars that are quite old, let's say quite evolved. They are post main sequence. So these are objects that have well finished to synthesize hydrogen in their core, and they're actually burning hydrogen in a shell that surrounds the core of helium for the red giants, or for the more extreme asymptotic giants, you have stars that are synthesizing hydrogen and helium in shells around the carbon-oxygen-rich core. So this is more or less the type of stars that you can use, for example. And these objects, especially if you look at them in the near infrared, they will have different colors according to their chemistry in the outer parts, in their surface layers. So some stars will be dominated by carbon molecules, other stars will be dominated by oxygen molecules. And already, if you're able to distinguish these two types, you can say that in one place there are perhaps more carbon stars and in another place there are less. And this is already an information about the metallicity in that particular location. So it's all a statistical argument. And of course you need to calibrate because with images you are counting stars. So the first thing you need to do is to find the calibration of your number counts versus the iron abundance. And that has been done. So that's why you are more or less confident that you are counting stars properly. So you need to take in this case the metallicity, so the iron abundance measured by other means, spectra, as we said before. And then you correlate that with the number of carbon stars, for example. And that you can see that there is a relation and that tells you what is the behavior of your metallicity versus the number of carbon stars, for example.
What's the main goal of this research? What are you really hoping to learn with all the observations of metallicity in all these galaxies?
In all the galaxies. Well, the bottom line is to learn how the galaxies formed and how they evolved. We know that metallicity changes during the evolution of a galaxy, and we know that there are dishomogeneities in the metallicity distribution within a given galaxy. And this was probably not the case when the galaxy formed, or maybe it was. So these are the kind of questions we want to answer. So how the galaxy came to exist as it is nowadays, that we observe it with this dishomogeneity as a metallicity.
Very exciting. So thank you very much for taking the time to explain your research to us.
Welcome.